Now, tonight we really should pray, of all nights. Tonight should be the night we pray more than any other night for this class. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you, and Lord, I pray that our most important thought in prayer is just plain doing it. Lord, we need you to teach us to pray. We, Lord, need a greater diligence in our prayer lives. Lord, the enemy quakes when real men and women get down to some serious prayer. There's such power in it, Lord, so we just pray that tonight you teach us more about this. Lord, it's just simply getting in your presence and speaking to you. Lord, it's having a conversation with our Father. Our Father loves us. Our Father cares for us. Our Father just wants to bless us, and he's blessed when we want to spend time with him. Help us to just do that, Lord. Maybe the image could be, Lord, us coming right into the throne room, walking right up to your throne like our dad on an easy chair, I guess, and just sharing our thoughts, our concerns, our heart, our desires with you. Teach us to pray, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight. Fill us with the Holy Spirit before we pray. May we be guided by the Holy Spirit when we pray. We just thank you for this awesome, tremendous gift that we can pray and the Creator of the universe, the true and living God, the Almighty God, can hear us and desire to bless us. You want to be with us, so teach us more about prayer tonight and create in us a desire, Lord, to do it, to get up, to get out, to just pray. There's so many things to pray for and about. We just ask you to motivate us in a deep way from the bottom of our hearts to pray and to pray often and to pray with some serious fervency, Lord, please. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. The name you told us to come to you in and pray in. Amen. Okay, so it's prayer. This is about 10 years ago, maybe more than that, more like 15. I taught the ministry of prayer in the Bible college, and I couldn't believe how, yes, I can. They couldn't believe how I could take prayer and make it into an 18-week course. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Just thought I'd start off with this. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And I just believe this is the attitude of the one who has a clear conscience before God. It's not that this person has been living sinlessly. It actually means that he or she has been quick to confess and to forsake their sin. That's it. And by doing that, they have confidence before God and they have boldness in prayer. Do you realize that God says you can have boldness in prayer? You can go to the throne boldly. You know, we want to approach the throne timidly, like, oh, it's me, Lord. Hi, it's Jim. He's saying, come boldly. You know what? You're my child. I'm your father. What's on your heart? Talk to me. If you're a father, if you're a parent, think of that. Don't you want your kids to come to you and just spill their guts to you and tell you everything, talk to you and share their feelings with you and everything? That's God. So we can have this confidence before God in boldness in prayer. So if your heart doesn't condemn you, then you can have confidence towards God. The next verse, 22, and whatsoever you ask, you will receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So to keep the commandments is to abide in him. It's to live close to him. It's to have this to live in close, vital intimacy, we might say, with Jesus. When we are in fellowship with him like that, then we make his will our own will. And all you, I keep saying this to everybody, all you have to fear, the only thing you have to fear, the only thing you should fear, how many ways can I put it, is being out of God's will. That's it. You shouldn't fear anything else. That's encapsulated in the scriptures is there's what you should be afraid of and what you shouldn't be afraid of. You should be afraid of nothing except being out of God's will. That's it. It's really simple. So all you have to fear is being out of his will, but by the Holy Spirit, he fills us with the knowledge of his will. If you're in the Word all the time, you know what his will is. He's telling you all the time. So in such a condition like that, we shouldn't ask for anything outside of God's will then. And when we ask according to his will, we receive from him the things that we ask for. And it's going to come up in this study again, but remember this. Remember Psalm 66, verse 18. Remember this. Carve it into the back of your hand till it bleeds. I'm just kidding, but Psalm 66, verse 18, if you regard iniquity in your heart, God will not hear, meaning he will not hear you, meaning he won't hear your prayers. I'm sure you're the same way. If you do any kind of really serious praying, to think that it could not be listened to, pretty serious, isn't it? If you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear. So he won't hear your prayer. But what is consistent with Scripture is that he will always hear the prayer of repentance. You're coming to him in repentance, he's always listening for that. He's pretty much like this, bent over, waiting. Is he repenting yet? I'm serious. It's kind of what the Scriptures tell us, that he stoops over. He's waiting for that. But he's not going to hear anything else until you do that. Prayer is God's way of enlisting us in what he's doing. You ever think of that? God can do marvelous things. God has a plan. God is awesome. God can do wonders, but he wants to include us in what he's doing. And prayer is one of those ways. Prayer is access to God, or to let Jesus come into our hearts. And I mean that on a daily basis. Are you opening your heart every day? Jesus, come in, because you know what? I am so helpless, I need you. He knows it. So to pray, you're telling him, you know what, Lord, I'm helpless. Will you please come in and hear me and help me and strengthen me and encourage me, because I need it. So it's not our prayer that moves the Lord. True prayer is he moving us to pray. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it talks about opening the door. I stand at the door and knock, and if you open it, I will come in. And the doorknob is on our side. There's no doorknob on his side. And he will come in and sup with us and fellowship with us. And that's what he wants. And how do you open the door? By prayer. Prayer is also communion with God, or fellowship. Prayer is for the helpless. It's casting their cares on him. If you want to look later, right here, Psalm 51, there's the prayer of a sinner. There's the prayer of a sinner who knows he's a sinner. He wants to be cleansed. He's repenting. He's asking God, change my heart, renew in me a new heart. I need a new spirit. I want to be cleansed. I want to be renewed. I don't want to do this again. Not only that, Lord, you've restored me and showed me so much incredible mercy. I want to turn around and tell other people about you so that they can know this incredible mercy and grace too. In Psalm 61, the psalmist vows his service to the Lord in prayer. In Psalm 141, the psalmist comes before the Lord with, I just want a sincere conscience. And he talks of prayer as being like incense. And you know what I like about that? Remember, we've been looking at it going through the Old Testament. Prayer as incense, the fragrant incense that was burnt. The Lord looks at our prayer. The symbol of prayer for him is that incense flowing up to him, that smell. He loves our prayers so much, he equates it to incense. Kay and Steve, who are here, they usually sit over here on the side. She gave me a big chunk of frankincense, and Warren, too, Sunday. And I didn't know what it looked like or anything, but I've got it in my office. If anybody wants to come by, I'll scratch it for you. You can smell it. Frankincense, it's incense. But that's what prayer is like to the Lord. And then in Psalm 142, there, and I believe it's David, he cried out. He poured out his heart. He spilled his guts to the Lord. That's really what prayer is. And then he says, because you're my refuge. Where else would I go? I like how Peter said that to Jesus. Where else would we go? There isn't anywhere else. Prayer. Prayer is that psalmist's comfort. So those are some good examples. And again, you know, praying, I like to add on the ending to a prayer, what Jesus prayed. Nevertheless, Father, your will be done. Here's what I've prayed for, but nevertheless, Lord, your will be done. What prayer is. Here's something else, too, I wanted to add. We can grow and learn by listening to ourselves. You know, you ever pray and you hear your prayers? You hear yourself pouring your heart out to the Lord? You ever surprise yourself? Who's that? You know what I mean? You learn a lot, don't you, in prayer. I at least I do. I know I learn a lot about the people that I pray with when I pray with them too. You know what's on their heart. You could see them thinking of other people. That's a blessing. you learn a lot about yourself. And I think that as you're praying, and even if, especially if you're praying out loud, you get to hear your own self, and it ministers to yourself too. Here, look at what prayer is. Supplication or request. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. In other words, will you quit your worrying? Is what it is. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Supplication. It's really just a request, like, give us this day our daily bread. When I look at that, I remember when we went through it, I mentioned that, yes, Lord, we need our sustenance, we need our daily food and everything, but also, give us your word today, the food for our spirits. You know, Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. Prayer is intercession, and that's asking on someone else's behalf. The greatest intercessory prayer you're ever going to find is John 17. That's the Lord's prayer, because that's the Lord praying. In Matthew chapter 6, that's not the Lord's prayer. We call it that. That's the disciples' prayer. Men have named it the Lord's prayer. The Lord's prayer is John 17. Jesus intercedes for us. There's no greater intercessory prayer than that one. And there's no greater prayer for anything than interceding for others, somebody else's behalf. Also, prayer is praise and thanksgiving. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. You know, I should say, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 106, verse 1. What if his mercy ran out? What if it ran out? He would have thrown me aside a long time ago. What if we could get to the bottom of his mercy? Okay, Jim, you've exceeded your limit. You're done. I don't have any more mercy for you. Can you imagine that? We should praise him for the mercy that he gives us. It endures forever. Think of that. Who should pray? That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Jesus said, men ought always to pray. He means women, he means children. He means humanity. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. He's saying everyone should pray. And by saying not faint, don't faint. Pray. Trust in me and pray and relax. Leave it in my hands. He says also, everyone that is godly should pray. Psalm 32:6. And he also goes on to say, at a time when thou mayest be found. And I think that that's all the time. That's now. Before you die, cry out to him before it's too late. You know, and I think of that mainly in regard to salvation. Don't wait. Today's the day of salvation. But a time that he can be found is any time, all the time. Also, to whom should we pray? Well, Jesus said to our Father in heaven in Matthew chapter 6, never are there prayers in the scripture to anyone else but God. And when Jesus was asked about prayer, he said, pray to the Father. You know, these prayers to saints or anyone else for that matter, anyone else, any other kind of deity, any other kind of false god, it's wrong. Jesus, by simply not listing a long list of people not to pray to, God automatically eliminates them, or Jesus automatically eliminates them and says, pray to your Father. That's it. He doesn't say, you know, if he's busy, pray to this one over here. Just the Father. That's it. Nobody else. What should we pray about and what should we pray for? All right, look it. If you're born again, then I think you really know what to pray for and who. And if you don't, do this. Use your fingers. Check for a pulse. Because if you think about it, you really do know what I had a guy come up to me Saturday and say, you know, I don't even know what to pray for anymore. And he was just down. He was just discouraged. He was just going through some stuff. And I said, all right, go through the Psalms. Read 5 Psalms every day until you've gone all the way through the Psalms. 5 a day, 5 a day, 5 a day. Stop at the end of every sentence and think of what to pray for. Watch what happens. Pray about that line you just read. Pray about the same thing that David just wrote or whatever it is. But if you don't know what to pray for, then you better check for a pulse. Because what do the scriptures tell us? Everything. Pray about everything. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. You know, I remember the days. Remember when you first got saved? Maybe you were a nut like me, and you prayed. And you, okay, Jesus, which way should I turn now? You know what I mean? It can go a little overboard, but I was praying about everything. And I think we should pray about everything. I pray about everybody that's ever come into this building that I can think of. Anyone who's ever walked in here, I'll sit there in prayer and I'll wait until they all come to my mind. It doesn't have to be that way with you, but I'm just saying, there's so much. Just be careful for nothing. Pray about anything. You think God doesn't think a prayer is silly, unless you do. Now, if you went to the Lord and said, you know, Lord, I really need a new vehicle. Will you help me? He thinks that's a good prayer. Lord, I want a Mercedes, and I want the best one on the lot, and it better be black. You know, come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. But be careful for nothing, and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen, do you guys realize what thanksgiving does? Sit there and thank God for everything you can think of. He's smiling. Wow, you are thankful to think of that many things, to really consider what I've done with thanksgiving. Pray about his will to be done. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, Lord, yours. Look it, give it up. He asks us to lay our lives down. We saw that Sunday. Lay your life down when you pray. You know what, Lord? I just want to pray what you want me to pray. Here's a good indicator of what your prayer life is like. How much do you pray for you? If you start praying for other people, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign that you're others-centered, that you're praying, you're interceding. Pray for, we just saw this in Matthew 2, laborers for the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And you guys know, we talked about that, Matthew chapter 9, the laborers are few. You know, why do you take any church? It could be a mega church of 10,000 people. 10% or less are tithing, 10% or less are serving. The laborers are few in comparison to the people who come. Laborers are few to go out on the mission fields. Laborers are few to be the menial jobs. You know, a lot of people want to serve in a church, but they want to tell you where. They don't want to clean or cut grass or something like that. There are guys that will do anything if it's for the Lord. We've got guys like that here. That's great. The laborers are few. They always have been. They always will be. Pray for the spreading of the word. You ever pray for this? Finally, brethren, Paul says this, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Pray for pastors. Pray for preachers. Pray for missionaries. Pray for evangelists that the word gets out. You know what? Pray for yourself. Lord, give me the gift of evangelism. If I could just share Jesus with one person this week, Lord, I'll do it. Pray that, though, that the word of God gets out. Pray for each other. You know what? You ever think of some Christians you used to know way, 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 way back, and they've moved on? Do you forget about them? Pray for them. Try to think of the people that you used to see in church. You know, maybe at another church. People that have moved out of your life. You don't know where they are. Pray for them that they're still walking with the Lord. He says, this is James 5:13 through 16. Is any of you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? You know what? The songs that we sing, have you ever considered when we're worshiping that you're singing a prayer? You're singing a prayer. I think God likes that. When it's really coming from your heart, and the words that you're singing are really coming from the bottom of your heart, and you're putting music to it, because for some of us it's a struggle. You know, you're really singing. I think that really blesses the Lord. Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And we will do that for you too. We do that on Tuesdays. We could do that any night, at any time. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Now, that doesn't mean that we absolve each other. That helps you. Talking about the sins that you've done, sharing them with someone else. It's almost like you're releasing yourself. It's almost like now someone else knows about it. And in a way, it's somewhat freeing. But they don't have the power to forgive you. Only Jesus does. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman or child availeth much. And you know, Ellen Redpath used to say, okay, when you have prayed, now really pray. You know, and I know what he means. You've prayed, and you're sitting there, and you're thinking, you know, I've really prayed. Now really pray. Really get down to it. Pray with others, too. Like I said earlier, you get to know them. You get to know their hearts. Believers, pray for believers to be filled with all the fullness of God. I love this prayer of Paul in Ephesians chapter 3. Listen, he's saying this to the Ephesians. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now he's praying that for other people. That says it all, doesn't it? That is so deep. But for here, we must pray. And I put persistently. In Matthew 26, verses 36 through 44, Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he's asked the guys to pray with him. And Jesus comes back, and he goes back to prayer again. And Jesus is consistent in his prayer. These guys are falling asleep. They're tired. I don't know. Maybe they're in pain. I don't know what it is. Jesus keeps praying. He's in Gethsemane here, and he just wants them, just pray with me for an hour. That's all. And they couldn't do it. But we must pray humbly. Remember Luke 18, verse 9 through 14, we see the publican and the Pharisee. The Pharisee comes before the Lord, you know, I do this and I do that, and I'm not like that guy. What kind of prayer is that? Lord, I'm great. Look what I do for you, Lord. You need me. And then you got the publican who's like, I can't even lift my head. I got nothing. I'm empty. I'm a sinner. And I got nothing to say. All I can ask for, all I can do is throw myself at your feet and hope for mercy. That's the idea, isn't it? You come to God in the morning, let's say, Lord, I'm helpless. And it's okay because I have a Father who's so strong. I'm so weak. I have unbelievable strength when I lean on you, Lord, because you're the source of my strength. We need to come with boldness. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. We're told to approach the throne of grace. He sits on a throne of grace. To me, that means it never runs out. His throne will last forever. His grace, I mean, you can't exhaust his grace. His grace is blessing, unmerited, undeserved blessing that he wants to give to you. We can approach that throne boldly, he says, because you're mine, you know, without ceasing, continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, believing. You know, in James chapter 1, it says, don't approach the Lord double-minded. Oh, I believe. Oh, I don't believe. Oh, I believe. Oh, I don't. You know, and we all go through that. We all waver. We all ride the roller coaster. We all get that way and everything. But he's saying, don't. Trust me. If you're in my will, trust me. Believe. Don't doubt. James 5:16, again, diligently. You know, the effectual fervent prayer, diligent prayer, in everything with thanksgiving. Do you know what that means? In everything with thanksgiving. You ever thank the Lord for the problems? Do you ever thank the Lord for the trials? You know what? Try that. It's not easy, but it says to thank him in everything, thanksgiving in everything. Philippians chapter 4, in all things. To the Father, in Jesus' name is how we're supposed to pray, right? But be in obedience to him first. You know, J. Vernon McGee, I used to read his commentaries, and he'd say stuff like, people would come up to me and tell me all kinds of reasons, their prayers being answered, and I have been praying for years, and, you know, and they want to claim, well, it says, ask, and you will receive. And he says, do you ever look maybe one or two verses before or one or two after? There's always something in the neighborhood that says, abide, obey, be in my will. It's true, isn't it? We don't read those parts. We read the ask and receive part. And that's a big thing. But to be in obedience first. You know, in John chapter 14, he's saying, ask in my name, But if you love me, you keep my commandments. If you don't keep his commandments, he may be thinking you don't love him so much, and maybe your prayer isn't being answered. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, again, pray in my name. My name. Jesus' name has weight. My name doesn't. Don't ever pray in my name. You're not getting anywhere. Don't ever pray in your own name. You're not getting anywhere either. It's kind of like if Jack writes me a check for $100 and he doesn't sign it, my name isn't going to do any good on that check. It's got to be his name. The Father's looking at the check you present him and he's, my son Jesus' name isn't on this check. It's no good. You need to come to him in his name, the Father in Jesus' name. You know what? We must pray because the needs are so great. Remember Matthew chapter 9? Jesus saw the lost and the wandering and the sick and the crippled and the tired and the beat down and everything else. And what did he do? He had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. Do you ever do that? Do you ever look at multitudes of people and you're just thinking, Lord, they're all lost. When I would go to hockey games, I'd just look at the people and go, wow, I bet 90% of these people don't even have a clue. Jesus would look on them with compassion. Pray for those people. Ask for a heart for the lost. You know what, too? Pray for enemies. If you pray for an enemy long enough, he doesn't remain an enemy. You know, I had a guy who went to Vietnam say that he understood prayer like this. He said one day, they're sitting on this side of a hill. And if you went to the peak of the hill and you looked over, the Viet Cong were all over the valley, hundreds of them. And he said, our orders were to go up over the hill. He goes, there was about 25 of us, to go up over the hill and keep on going. And he goes, and we're looking over the hill, and there's about 300 guys down there or whatever it is. And he goes, this is where I learned to pray. He says, we called in the headquarters, and we said, we need help. And we gave them the coordinates, and he goes, and the next thing you know, from above, rockets came in and obliterated the whole area. And I thought, that's calling up above for help down below. They're not there, but their help is coming in over these guys. You know what I mean? He said, this is how I learned prayer. It was so similar. The help came out of the sky, and we called up, and they couldn't see right where we were, but it was pinpoint. It was right on the spot, and it saved us. And anyways, I love that story. He tells it a lot better because he was there. But look at this here, where to pray. You know what? You guys know this. Anywhere, everywhere. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians 1:21. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, without anger, without doubting. 1 Timothy 2:8. Pray every day. Listen, I got a letter today. Anybody know who Joseph Farah is? He's an author. He's a Christian activist. He is a great man of God. He writes a lot of newsletters and books and stuff. I think we have one of his books out here. He told what was going to happen to the United States 25 years ago. He said we would be where we are right now, and he was right. Anyways, I got a letter from him today, and he asked for us to pray for our nation every single day all the way up to 9/11. I'm asking all you guys to pray for our country every single day all the way up till September 11th. Please, pray for our country. We're told to in Scripture. It's scriptural. Where to pray? Again, in the Spirit. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what? Before you pray, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and let your Holy Spirit guide me in my prayer. Show me what to pray for. Show me the needs. Put people on my heart. Put situations on my heart. You ever been sitting there, and all of a sudden the ideas start flooding your brain about what to pray for? Here's what used to happen to me. I used to go to men's prayer at Finger Lakes, and when I was a really young Christian, back a while ago, I'd be sitting there, and I'd get an idea for prayer in my head. oh, I'm around all these giants, and maybe I shouldn't speak out. And I, okay, here it comes, I'm going to pray, and then I didn't do it. And I wait a little bit longer, and the very same prayer leaps out of my head, and that guy over there starts praying for it. And I'm like, he's going to get the blessing now, not me. The Holy Spirit is trying to get you to pray for it, and you didn't do it, and he leaps over there, and somebody else prays. But he will show you. I used to do that a lot. I was a chicken. And then I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I couldn't keep my mouth shut. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So that's from Jude 1:20. Ask to be led, let him lead. And again, a good indication that he is leading is mainly it's not going to be for yourself. He's probably going to lead you to pray for somebody or something else. In God's house, good place to pray. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written? I love when the Lord says that, Jesus says that. Isn't it written? Don't you guys read? My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. You guys remember Mark 11 and Luke 19, you know, when he came into the temple and they're selling and there's money all over and animals and stuff going on and they're ripping off the people and the conversion rates are out of this world and they're not accepting their sacrificial animals. They got to buy theirs. And Jesus had it, and he flips over all the bingo tables. Well, in churches, what's getting me? I keep hearing about this one church, little bits and pieces about a church not too far from us. And what I keep hearing coming out of it is the people that have gone there, there's a tendency to say things where this church doesn't pray and they don't know how to pray. Because I've heard of people going there, and when prayer is brought up, everybody goes, huh? And I'm thinking, wow, are you kidding me? So church is an awesome place to pray. Corporate prayer together. But again, too, in secret. In secret we should pray. What does Jesus say? But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And he's saying, you know what? There's a tendency to pray in public where you can be rewarded by men. By, oh, wow, did you hear him? Oh, did you hear what he said? Wow, do you hear his knowledge of the scriptures? How eloquently he prays? Big deal. Jesus is saying, you know what? You really want to pray? Go in your prayer closet and just pray. It may be in secret, but your Father rewards you openly. Because remember, we saw the Pharisees, remember, as we're going through Matthew, they would stop on every corner praying out loud. And they'd get crowds gathered around them, and they would think, oh, these guys are great. And what the Pharisees' excuse was that, you know, we're so full of prayer that we can't wait to get to the synagogue. We can't wait to get to the temple. So we're going to pray on the street corners. You know what it was? It was all show. That's what it was. It's all about me, for praise, for credit. You know what? Jesus is an advocate of praying corporately, but even more so praying privately, because your privately is much more doable, isn't it? Anyways, when to pray. Scriptures tell us be instant in prayer. Romans 12:12. Paul talks about continuing instant, meaning keep praying, don't stop praying, be instant in prayer. You ever have somebody call you on the phone, will you pray for? Yep, I will. Okay, see you later, bye. You ever get off the phone and go, man, I should have prayed. Why did I let that guy go? Or you see him in here, will you pray for me, brother? Sure, see you later. No, and sometimes it happens to me too. I'm in the middle of 100 things and you just plain forget, and it always gets to me later, boy, I should have prayed. Pray instantly, the scriptures tell us. Be ready. Always pray, Luke 18:1, right? Don't faint, Luke 21:36. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he talks about just continuing. Be ready at a moment's notice. The rest of those scriptures, Colossians 4:2, continue. Just keep continuing. Night and day, we're told, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Psalm 5:3, Acts 12:5 tells us the early church never stopped praying. They were praying without ceasing. the early church. You know, wouldn't you love to be around Jerusalem in the early days of the church in Acts? I know we'd probably be hiding from the Romans and hiding from the Jews. And boy, were they on fire or what? Praying constantly, meeting constantly, you know, just the fellowship and everything. Pray when you're overwhelmed. You know, been through a couple weeks where I'm doing so many things all at one time where I was almost laughing about. I remember a woman, Candy and I know, she said that guys can't multitask. And yeah, and I'd laugh at that because I said, "I that's all I do." My wife would say, "Well, most guys can't. That lady's husband couldn't." But my point being that you start to think that that's a great thing. Oh, I can multitask. I can do 100 things all at one time. You know what? God gave me a day recently where I was so overwhelmed, I got confused. And confusion isn't of the enemy. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand. I was tired, and I was trying to do everything all at once, and it just wasn't working. Nothing was working. You know, and I became overwhelmed. And here I am getting ready to do this prayer study in a couple weeks, and I'm looking at this. David is the perfect example. We just did this big thing on David Saturday for all the men from 4 different churches. If anybody was overwhelmed, it was David. What a great study in the life of a guy. I mean, he had all these enemies coming at him. He had all these family members dissing him and everything and just blowing him off, lying about him. His family left him. He's hated. He's being hunted. He's being stalked by Saul. Saul's tried to kill him, take his wife from him, lie about him, all this stuff. He's so overwhelmed. Psalm 142, he says that. I'm just so overwhelmed. Lord, what do I do? And he went to the Lord. Eventually, he becomes the king. He knows that he's anointed to be the king, but he doesn't see the Lord doing it in his life fast enough, right away. But the Lord brings all these men around him and starts to do things. And little by little, he sees his prayers answered. Are you convinced that God answers your prayers? One thing I really like is when kids get to see their prayers answered. Point that out to them. Did you see that? Your prayers are being answered. Point that out to them so they know, because they don't always get that. They need to know that. So if you're there and you can do that for them, help them out. Reasons for answered prayer. We can have confidence by praying in His will. It says here, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. That's 1 John 5:14 and 15. If you're praying in His will, how do you know? How do I know if I'm in His will? Well, are you reading the Word of God? Is it according to His will? Are you asking things that are like off the wall, or are you asking for things that you really believe God wants you to, that are in His will? How about reasons for answered prayer? Abiding in Him and in His Word. He says, if you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Those are some big ifs. If you abide in Me, and if My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. How about praise and thanksgiving? That's huge, guys. You know what? Did you ever just pray because you just want to praise Him? Or you just want to thank Him? Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise and thanks. Thanks, thanks, thanks. And praise. I mean, just sit down and think of why you're so thankful. What you're so thankful for. Do you have good health? Do you have beautiful kids? Do you have an awesome spouse? Do you have a great job? Do you have a home? Are you free from sin forever because Jesus Christ died for your sins? Are you cleansed? Are you going to heaven? I mean, we get so fixed on all our conditions right now on earth. Think to the eternal. Just, I'm going to be with God forever because He's wiped away my sins, and I don't deserve it. Just think that. Ask for a greater understanding of His grace. I know I've said this for the 1 millionth time. Ask for a greater understanding of God's grace, What happens? You fall in love with him more. As you understand his grace, you realize you don't deserve it, and he's giving it freely, and you just fall in love with him more. It'll make you thankful.